Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 3. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, as showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. And what follows? Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 3.
Thank you.
a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Zechariah 3. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Zechariah 3. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and thou shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. We hope to remember in prayer Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who was still in the Calgary Hospital, Mrs. Ada Meljars, who was scheduled for surgery on Tuesday, Mr. and Mrs. Ken and Margaret Both, with the death of a brother-in-law, Mr. Henry Jansen, at the age of 75 years in British Columbia, and in Rostern, Mr. and Mrs. Jeffrey and Maria Korovar were blessed with the birth of a baby boy. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, just, good-doing, and ever-faithful, where thou hast granted unto us and our children another day, then thou hast faithfully watched over us the week gone by, in the night gone by, we may see the dawn of another day. And thou was granted the privilege by renewal to come up to thy courts. Then in the past week, in the midst of the trials of life, we have been the recipients of many precious gifts from heaven, and that for a sinful and an unworthy people, well, to grant a little impression thereof, may the prayers have been multiplied in this morning hour, where also in this day, it is the last day of summer, another season has quickly run its course. Moses, the man of God, has said that we fly away. Thou hast given another season of grace. Much has transpired by thy goodness, but also callings, solemn callings amongst us and our children. And then the prophet Jeremiah has exclaimed that the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Then in the realm of nature, then thou hast caused an abundance to grow, and already much opportunity to harvest what was given to grow. Then thou wast spared from great storms of destruction. Wilt thou grant humble and broken hearts? And Lord, may there have been souls that have been struggling also in this morning, when they were given to remember that another summer season is coming to an end, and where the seed of thy word has been sown, howbeit with many shortcomings, and then for souls to exclaim that the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. May there have been in this morning hour that have earnestly begged of thee that before the summer season is over, at the end of this Sabbath day, that thou may magnify thy work of free and sovereign grace in their hearts, that they may be saved, that they may be quickened, that they may be made new creatures. And Lord, for thy Zion, then they do well to examine and to be given to meditate how it is with the root, with the blade, concerning the ear, the full ear, the further instructions and leadings in the ways of grace, and whether that ear becomes more and more humble with that bewilderment of that one-sided work, that unmatched love of thy dear Son, who has given himself that his church may be saved. Ah, Lord, do make thy name great amongst us also on this Sabbath day. May thy kingdom come, and thy great and worthy name be glorified. May the prayers be multiplied to that end, and wilt thou bind upon all of our hearts, as this season has quickly nearly run its course, the shortness, the solemnity, the seriousness, the reality of life, but also the certainty of death, of judgment and eternity. And then thou granteth this season of grace, that we may be converted by thee unto thee. And Lord, thou knowest how deeply we have fallen. Thou knowest that it is all thy work from the beginning to the end. But thou hast appointed the means of grace to that end, and thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. O, thy dear Son at thy right hand, he is still gathering his church in the state of exaltation. May that be richly realized in this day among young and old. Oh, in the light of that never-ending eternity, then there is not so much difference in our ages. And we have experienced it in solemn ways, that the young can also be taken away by the hand of death. To that end, then we commend unto thee all the mourning ones in our midst. There are many amongst us, and also in the day of yesterday, a father and mother, husband and wife, have received the tidings that a brother-in-law who was succumbed to that dreadful disease was ushered into eternity. We commend unto thee the immediate family, but also the family circles that are living amongst us. May the callings be sanctified. May it please thee to comfort. Wilt thou so remember the many temporal needs amongst us? The handicapped daughter still in the hospital, where the physicians do not feel comfortable in sending her home yet, Lord. Wilt thou grant wisdom and understanding? May the means further be blessed, where she has been in the hospital for such a great while already, that the time may come that she may return home. And then, Lord, then thou continuest to knock on your heart. My daughter, give me thy heart. May it please thee to take it. Wilt thou remember and strengthen father and mother, the family circle, under these trying circumstances? We commend unto thee a son who had knee surgery in this past week, and where thou wast given some improvement already. May it please thee to grant further healing and strengthening, and that this calling may be used, that by thy grace, that he may be given to remember his Creator in the days of his youth. Wilt thou remember all undergoing treatments under the physician's care in special ways? Grant them a place at thy footstool. We remember a mother who was scheduled for surgery by renewal. May it please thee to go with her. May the means be blessed, the calling sanctified. Wilt thou remember together with her dear husband? We commend unto thee a young couple who were united in holy matrimony in this past week, and where it is their first Lord's Day as husband and wife, O Lord. May it please thee to bless thy word richly to their hearts, to be a blessing for one another, a blessing in the church, a blessing in the family circles. Wilt thou remember all of our youth? Wilt thou grant unto them the desire of their heart, that they may all receive one, if it may be according to thy will, with whom they may travel together on life's pathway with a husband and wife under the truths of thy holy word? Then we commend unto thee our branch. Wilt thou bless thy word in this day richly? And then it is pleased thee to bless a father and mother by renewal in their married life with the birth of a little son. Then the concerns have been many in the past, but, Lord, thou wast watched over them. Thou wast given life. Wilt thou grant a broken and a humble heart with the prayer that he may be one for thee, one for thy honor and for thy glory? May in this day thy kingdom richly come, that there may be a rich ingathering among Jew and Gentile. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Do open thy holy word. May thy word go forth with power divine. Thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy house. The psalmist of old has declared that he was poor and needy, but then he was given to add, and that thou hast a people that is the desire, and that is a people that needs to know. They cannot live on maybes, but then the psalmist was given to declare, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh of me. May that be experienced in thy house and given by true saving faith to add, for thou art my help and deliverer. But he was not delivered yet. And then he was given to ask that thou would make no tarrying. Ah, Lord, may there be those souls that have asked with the psalmist that thou would hasten for their help. Wilt thou then be a surprising God? Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 31, the stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, hear the right, regard my cry, my prayer from lips sincere. Send thy approval from on high, my righteousness make clear. Thou in the night my heart is tried, nor found a turn from thee aside. And what follows? Psalter 31, the first four stanzas, and the extra collection today is for the disaster fund.
Thank you.
in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then by renewal, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Ephesians 6, the verses 13 and 14. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Our text words speak of putting on the whole armor of God, with three thoughts. In the first place, the command concerning this armor. Secondly, the girdle of truth. And in the third place, the breastplate of righteousness. Beloved congregation, we have heard how the Apostle Paul has stressed to the church of Ephesians that they were called upon, first to be strong in the Lord, their King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 11, we have already heard, put on the whole armor of God. You can remember, boys and girls, if a soldier only has armor to cover part of his body, then the enemy shall shoot at that uncovered part. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And now in our text words, then we read, by renewal, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. And then between those two exhortations, then Paul has spoken of the wickedness, the wiles of the devil. He has 6,000 years experience, and to that end, to put on the whole armor of God. And then he has added an encouragement. No, Church of God, it is not a hopeless case. Christ is King. He has defeated that enemy. He can do no more what he is permitted. And now through him, then Paul has written that ye may be able, we read that in verse 11, and also in verse 13, thus for the church not to become overly discouraged, we can become so overwhelmed, but that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And then it speaks of standing, and that refers to wherever the Lord has placed us, in our station, in our calling, wherever it may be. It is a warfare in all places, all circumstances. And then we have begun to say a few words about the girdle. And that, boys and girls, we do not speak of a girdle, but we speak about a belt, about our waist. And then we have already mentioned a few points. Then you can remember, boys and girls, why Paul has first spoken of the girdle, because we would say a sword and a shield, that is more important to fight against the enemy. But boys and girls, can you now remember why Paul has first given to speak of the belt in that order? And then maybe you answer, he has mentioned them in the order that a soldier would dress himself. Because then you can remember if a soldier would have a sword in one hand and a shield in the other hand, then he could not put on his belt. And then we have mentioned that a belt, that in the first place it is for strength, in the second place for movement, because we read of the children of Israel in Exodus 12 on the evening of the Passover, when they would be called to depart out of the land of Egypt, that their loins needed to be girded for their loose coats, that it would not all so much get in the way. Then further we read in the scriptures that it was also for beauty, because we read of the high priest especially, but also the priest, that he had a belt. And concerning the belt of the high priest, then in Exodus 28 we read that it was for glory and for beauty. And so also we read of the material of white linen, of gold, purple, blue, and scarlet. And in 2 Samuel 20, verse 8, then we read of Joab when he was fighting the battle, that in his belt that he had a sword. And now in our text words, the Christian soldier. And then when we consider the Christian soldier, then each time we need to examine ourselves whether we have become such a Christian soldier, whether we have been recruited by the grace of God, by unconverted fellow travelers. Have you asked for it in this morning hour, that by the Holy Spirit you may be recruited, taken from underneath the banner of the prince of darkness, and to be placed and to fight the battles under the glorious banner of Jesus Christ? He is such a good master, and it is true. He is honest. The devil, he is a liar. He promises much, and he shall not give it, and the end shall be eternal destruction. But Christ is now honest. He tells that those soldiers that they have many a battle to fight, many a prayer to pray, many a temptation to resist, and that the battle will be sore, that many arrows shall be shot, 10 days of tribulation. But he is also given to declare in his word the gracious help they shall receive, and that they shall experience profound and wonderful things, that they shall be saved, and at the end, then they shall be taken up into heaven, where there shall be no more need of a sword and this armor. There it shall be eternally victory and eternally praise. Thus the belt, many purposes. And now in our text, that girdle is specifically described. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Thus it is the belt of truth. That is where Paul begins. Because there are many that fight battles in the wrong camp. They do not have the truth. It has begun in Genesis 3. It shall continue to the end, and it shall only become more severe as we come closer to the great judgment day when Christ shall appear upon the clouds of heaven. And the enmity against the truth, that shall only become greater. 2 weeks ago, the U.S., then Charlie Kirk was assassinated for bringing across the university students what was written in the Bible. And now when we consider the girdle of truth, that is given by the God of truth. And when we read the scriptures, then that truth that is ascribed to the Trinity, to the three persons. In Romans 3, we read of the God of truth. In John 14, verse 6, Christ has declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And in John 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 16, verse 13, the Comforter, he is called the Spirit of Truth. And David has penned in Psalm 51, verse 6, Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And now what does that belt, that girdle of truth consist of? Then in the first place, then the soldier needs to know the truth, what he is fighting for, and to that end, that he searches the scriptures diligently as we read in John 5, verse 39. And when we think of that knowledge, and then when we speak of a knowledge not only historical, that is necessary, and therefore our children and young people must also study diligently concerning the Bible and catechism and try to learn their questions well, but not only with our head, but also with our heart. When we think of the reformers, Martin Luther, he actually never expected to die a natural death, but on account of that knowledge and the experience of that truth, that he has experienced how it is possible for a poor, hell-worthy sinner to be saved, free in sovereign grace, excluding everything of man, only through the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, as the way to the Father by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, those reformers, they were even willing to shed their blood and sacrifice their lives. Then concerning that girdle of truth, that also includes a love for the truth. And it is needful for us and our children that we have profound impressions of that old and tried truth. We can still read sermons in the church that were read many centuries ago, that many churches cannot do because they have changed the truth. But we can still read sermons of many centuries ago because there is only one truth that has been tried for so many ages. And now, to be a soldier and to fight a battle, if we are a good soldier, and Paul has admonished Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, then such soldiers, they need to know who they are fighting for and what they are fighting for. And that is so needful in our day, because there needs in the church to be a continual reformation. Otherwise, there shall be a backsliding, and that we have a love, profound impressions of the old truth and the old ways. Then it is further necessary that we have concern for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, for the coming of that kingdom, that it may be greatly increased, that among young and old, that new soldiers may be placed under that banner. And then concerning that girdle of truth, then also a knowledge, tis in the context, especially in verse 12, but also at the end of verse 11, against the wiles of the devil, then it is needful that we have knowledge of the enemy. Many battles have been won in wars because that one country had knowledge of their weapons, of their tactics, of their weaknesses, and so they have won. And then what else? That girdle of truth, that there is a willing to sacrifice. Matthew 16, verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. Thus that girdle of truth, we have mentioned it, not for show. You can remember, boys and girls, we have mentioned a soldier when he hangs up all his armory on pegs on the wall in a certain room, and he leaves it there just for show. That shall not be profitable. It is not for joy. Can be people that have great delight searching out the scriptures, the perplexities, the truths, but never experienced that true love for the captain. Thus the girdle of truth, that is to go in the battle and to fight the wars of the Lord. Our second thought, the breastplate of righteousness. Let us first sing of Psalter 361, the four stanzas. Through all the years may Israel say, my bitter foes have oft assailed, have sought my hurt in fierce array, yet over me have not prevailed. And what follows, 361, the four stanzas. third thought, the breastplate of righteousness. And under our third thought, then 3 points. In the first place, the great need. In the second plate, the breastplate of forgiveness. And in the third place, the breastplate of holiness. And now this breastplate, that is never separated from the girdle of truth, because that breastplate is described and declared in the truth of God's holy word, the inspired word of God. And now the question could be asked immediately after the girdle of truth. Then the apostle is given to mention the breastplate. And that, boys and girls, that is a covering that a soldier would wear from his neck to his waist. And when we think of a breastplate, then that is a covering of the front, although in the original we do not know all things, but when we think of a breastplate, that is something that covers the front of the body. Thus that means that a soldier, that he must face the enemy, and that he must not flee. Oh, then concerning this instruction, then the child of God has many reasons to be ashamed. They can be so timid and they can be so fearful, not looking to the king, but looking at the weapons of the enemy, not listening to the king. But now the question, boys and girls, you must think along. Why is now first, after the girdle of truth, the breastplate mentioned? And I think maybe you can give an answer. That maybe you will say, well, if the enemy shoots a soldier in the foot or in the hand, the leg, and arm, that can be very painful, but it does not have to be fatal. But when the enemy now takes an arrow and shoots it, what is now behind that breastplate? Then, children, you shall say, there is my heart and there are my lungs. And when they are shot and wounded, then oftentimes it is fatal. And now when we consider spiritually, the heart we read in the Bible, and that is the seat of our emotions, feeling, and will. We read of those faint-hearted ones. Oh, what an arrows that the enemy, the devil, can shoot at his child, and then they are so sore wounded, then they become so weak, then they lose their courage, and then if there is no remedy, then they shall die. Thus then, boys and girls, you can understand why Paul first speaks of the breastplate. Because when we think of the arrows, the law, an accusing law, Satan also that accuses, we have heard out of Zechariah 3 concerning Joshua the high priest, and especially the wrath of God. those are arrows that are shot at the heart of His people, and they are fatal if there is no remedy. Thus then, children, you can understand it, of course, usually when we're young. We do not have heart trouble, but maybe you have a grandfather or grandmother that has a very weak heart, that is heart trouble, and then you are given to see that they cannot do so much, they tire out, and that surely that they could not be a soldier to fight a war. And then the second behind that breastplate, that is the lungs. Most of the time, not always, but maybe this summer, that boys and girls, together with the measles, you had pneumonia, and that you could not breathe so well. That is a very serious matter, and therefore the soldier needs a breastplate. And now breathing, that is a beautiful picture of prayer in the life of the Church of God. And now when those lungs are wounded with arrows, even poisonous arrows, then their breathing becomes so faint, because prayer, that is the power and the strength of the Church. And now we read of that breastplate, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We have mentioned before that John Bunyan in his Holy War has also said that the unconverted, they also have armor. And then he has stated that they have a breastplate of a very hard heart. Are there people that are troubled with that breastplate? Also this summer, when midnight comes, then the summer season shall be open, over. And then the Lord has spoken in such solemn ways, and maybe there are still those, I hope many, that are troubled and that are given to beg the Lord that that breastplate of a hard heart may be stripped off, and that you may become a soldier, even boys and girls, a small soldier in the camp of the Lord Jesus Christ to fight the battles of the Lord. But then there can also be a breastplate of much of self, of emotions, feelings, a reformation, a repenting, a change, and that such a person has such a breastplate. But now to receive this breastplate of righteousness, then all those other breastplates, they need to be removed. The past weeks in many church news, then there are meditations which have been translated from Reverend Mukatika from the book of Amos. And in the past week, then in a meditation on Amos 4, verse 12, where it says, prepare to meet thy God, then Reverend Mukatika has earnestly exhorted not to build upon sandy foundations. And then this is what he has written. Perhaps you had a reformation in your life. Formerly you lived so carelessly, and conversion meant nothing to you. it changed and you became concerned about your never-dying soul. You bought other books and different clothes. Your house was no longer your idol. You sought other friends. You spent your time differently. It is all worthwhile, but is that ground on which to meet God? Perhaps you say, but God spoke once to me, which is unforgettable. Is this ground under your feet? Perhaps you partook of the Lord's Supper once. Perhaps God's people respect you and think you are one of them. Perhaps you serve in the consistory or even a minister. Reader, there is only one ground. And to find this ground, you first need to drown, really. Yes, you will not find that ground if the water only rises to your waist. It is amazing because in nature, when you drown, there is no ground under your feet at all. In the life of grace, this is the remarkable way the Lord works. Drown, perish, and lose your life. But then to find firm ground, he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Thus the necessity that everything else is removed, we have heard it from Zechariah 3, of Joshua the high priest, that before he received those new garments, those filthy garments need to be removed. They were removed. And that now separates the precious from the vile. Because the Spirit uncovers and he strips. And then what does a sinner learn? That with all their own doing, with their own breastplates, that those arrows, they shall go straight through all their own breastplates, shall enter their heart and their lungs, and they shall perish. But now when we read in our text words of the armor of the true Christian soldier, then we read, and when we read, take upon you, that is by faith, true saving faith, which the Spirit grants. And then we read, stand there for having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And what is now that breastplate of righteousness? Which Christ has merited and which he grants through his true child, that is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a breastplate of righteousness that has been merited. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is hung on the cross naked. He had no breastplate. Do I not read in Zechariah 13, verse 7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand to the little ones. Thus that breastplate that has been merited by the Lord Jesus Christ, he has taken the sins of his child upon himself. Oh, amazing, astonishing love. Then he has bore the wrath of his father, the arrows of the wrath and of the wicked one. They have penetrated his body and his soul. Even the term he descended into hell. But he has cried out, it is finished, he is risen. And he sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And now he granteth that breastplate of righteousness unto his child. And people of God, rest not till you may receive that breastplate of righteousness. and embrace it by an arm of faith. And that breastplate of righteousness, justice has been satisfied. And the arrows of Satan cannot penetrate that breastplate. Thus, in the first place, then boys and girls, then it is easier for you to understand justification. That is a big word, although you have to try to remember. And that means to receive the forgiveness of sins and a right to eternal life. Thus, that breastplate in the first place, that consists of receiving the forgiveness of sins. And in the second place, then we must speak of the breastplate of sanctification, that is of holiness. And those two, distinguished, but never separated. And now when the child of God, when he may wear that breastplate, then he is something to answer. Because when a child of God does not have that tender and close life, maybe even a life of compromise concerning the things of the world, then Satan has a great advantage. Then he comes with many accusations. And then they have not a breastplate and they enter right into the heart. And he comes with true accusations. But when it may be granted that a child of God, and it goes together, oh many a child of God, concerning that first, how troubled and how exercises, and they should be, because we need that righteousness of Christ as a covering, as a garment of righteousness, but together, because otherwise there can be a beautiful confession, but when there is no breastplate of holiness, then there can be many questions, and then such a one will have a very difficult and a very troublesome life. And now concerning that breastplate, when they do not have the breastplate of righteousness, when they do not even more so, let us consider that breastplate of holiness. When they are not wearing it, then many arrows shall penetrate their lungs, and their prayer life shall come to a very low ebb. Then also when many arrow in their heart, they shall become very faint-hearted. They shall not be, as we read in Psalm 69, verse 9, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up. Then they shall not be so profitable for self, for the church, for their neighbor, not so exercised with the coming of Christ's kingdom. The breastplate of forgiveness and the breastplate of holiness. In wars, then there is also set up a military hospital for soldiers that have been wounded. And so Christ, to say it in a reverent way, also a hospital, think of John 5, Bethesda, five porches, and then in that hospital, then there are many of those soldiers, all we would say all, that they are brought oftentimes to that military hospital where there is that great physician, where there is that balm of Gilead. And now concerning those soldiers and concerning their armor, the most difficult cases are soldiers that have been wounded very grievously and that they do not think they need to go to the hospital. Those are the most difficult cases, also for their fellow men. Oh, it is much easier when you have a soldier that is sorely wounded, that is given to cry and beg, to confess their sins. Ah, then it is a blessing when it may be, as in Mark 2, those four men that have carried that paralyzed man and let him down through the roof at the feet of Jesus. And now in that military hospital, same thing, boys and girls, when we go to the hospital and the doctor asks you questions, right? Maybe where have you been? What have you done? Have you drank or eaten anything that was bad? Also in that military hospital, then the king, then the physician, then he asked those soldiers many questions. Oh, how honorable it is. Those soldiers, oh, there have been many. The time of the Reformation and the time of persecution. They had their armor on. They have stood on the front line. No, they have not heedlessly went into the camp of the enemy, that we must never do. But in the way of recalling that they were sorely wounded, and oh, what a confession they could make, that they could say, King, Master, I was fighting the battles of the Lord. I have put on my armor. But the enemy was so strong, the arrows so many, and now I am here sorely wounded for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Although even those soldiers, when they are given to reflect, they have much to confess. But ah, for those soldiers, then surely, then the physician, then he shall speak so comfortably, well done, servant. Ah, then he shall speak precious promises to them. Then he shall comfort them because they have been zealous. But ah, we live in a day that there are so few that are so zealous. Who would be willing, let us be honest, if it came to the point, willing to sacrifice our life for the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. But there are so many of those wounded ones that when they are brought to the hospital and the heavenly physician comes to visit them and he asks very pointed questions, that the physician is waiting for confession of sin and guilt, that they have not been what they have ought to be, that they have been heedless, even concerning their armor. They have not been praying as they ought to pray. And because they read in Jeremiah 3 verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou wast transgressed against thy God. Then the physician is waiting for that confession. And when there is no confession, we say it simple so the boys and girls can understand it. When there is no confession, then the physician goes to another patient, hoping to return another time. Have examples in the Bible. David, when he has fallen, he was not wearing his armor. When he was walking upon the housetop, when he has fallen into great sin, more than 9 months. What a difficult, what a miserable place to be, to refuse, to confess, and to bow. Then the physician is waiting that there may be a confession that they have sinned everything away. All be wonderment that they have not been slain on the battlefield, that there is still a spiritual hospital for such soldiers that have sinned everything away, that have not given heed to the command of Jesus Christ to watch and pray. Perhaps even have even sought out temptation. Oh, what a blessed place in that spiritual hospital when a sinner, a poor sinner, a soldier, that maybe expects to receive word that there is no place no more in that spiritual hospital. They have ruined it too many times. But the physician is waiting till there shall be a confession of their sin, of their guilt, of their unworthiness. Maybe even a promise, although the longer those soldiers are in the warfare, the less the promises become. Because they learn with the Jehoshaphat that they have no might against all those enemies. And now in that spiritual hospital, in Bethesda, five porches can be in different conditions, those wounded soldiers. But now that physician for those soldiers. Then I read in Jeremiah 8, verse 22. Those soldiers that have been sorely wounded, maybe because of the lack of armor, maybe because not watching, that they have been sorely wounded. Then that precious word for those soldiers that are given to declare their guilt and yet are given to ask whether there may be healing and whether they may still remain a soldier under the banner of King Jesus becomes the wonder for those soldiers that the king does not say, such faint-hearted soldiers, such soldiers I can no longer use, but now for their wounds. And the child of God shall experience that pain. That becomes such an unbearable pain. And all their own fault. Then that precious word in Jeremiah 8 verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why is the health of the daughter of my people not healed? What precious word, what precious promises, what precious ointment. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. Then in that hospital, then it may be told to those soldiers, the warfare, that shall continue. And those soldiers, what do they have most to complain about? Do you know? Not about the enemy, but about that inside, about self, about that wretched man, that traitor, that flesh. That is the greatest trouble. But then those spiritual soldiers shall be told, must remember that the warfare that shall continue upon this earth, you shall receive many a wound, many a arrow, because the enemy is unrelenting. That warfare shall continue, but oh, in the hospital, there is that balm. But there shall come a time for the true soldiers of Jesus Christ, whether they have been in the army shorter time or a longer time, then there shall come a time that they shall be taken out of this world. They shall be taken into glory, and there. Oh, Job has declared it in Job 3, verse 17. There the wicked shall cease from trouble, and the weary shall be at rest. There the arrows of the enemy, they cannot reach. There they shall not be troubled with self, but there they shall be given to sing the praises of the Lord, to cast the crown before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for his wonderful works. May it be our concern. Oh, also in Jeremiah 8, verse 20, the harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. When the Lord spares midnight, another summer season is gone. Oh, may that be our concern, our profound concern, that we may be saved to become a soldier under the banner of King Jesus. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard instruction concerning the armor of the Christian soldier. Tis merited, is given, and then the soldier needs to be taught continually how to use that armor, defensive and offensive. The necessity that the soldier may remain close with the captain of salvation. Lord, may it please thee in this day to recruit soldiers under the banner of King Jesus. Wilt thou make thy true people more zealous, and those in the hospital sorely wounded, wilt thou grant them thy blessing with confession and with the balm of Gilead poured in their wounds. Wilt thou watch over us in this day. Help fathers and mothers to speak to their dear children. Grant traveling mercies. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 392. Let us only sing 1 and 4. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, my might, my constant helper in the flight, my shield, my righteousness, and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a male members meeting tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. for the purpose of discussing the purchasing of a church in Rostern and also to present various options of church additions here in Pitcher Butte. There will be a Classes Far West meeting on Wednesday, October 1 at 9 a.m. here in Pitcher Butte. The prayer service for the classes is on Tuesday evening, September 30 at 7 p.m. And the Learning and Living magazine is at the exit, 392, only 1 and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.